Bigotry.com. Bigotry, racism, sexism, ageism, white privilege, male privilege, bias, preferential treatment, favoritism. Right, these are all things that are kind of hot button topics these days in one way or another. All things that kind of get the blood pumping a little bit, maybe the nervous juices flowing when they come up in conversation or in a real life situation. All of these topics, though, they stem from kind of one idea, the fact that one person, one type of person, one color of person is being shown partiality above others. Right? Today's theme is God loves impartiality. In the New Testament, there's a Greek word for partiality, and that Greek word is proklesis. It's to cause, to lean against. And the word picture is like of a set of balance scales, right, that lean toward or against one side or another. It refers to having a pre-inclination, a partiality, a bias, or undue favor. Now, when it comes to God, Scripture tells us that he does not show partiality toward anyone. It's clearly and directly stated. Romans 2:11 says simply this, "For God shows no partiality." God shows no partiality. Now, the context of this verse is important, and we'll come back to that in a minute. But I want to, at the very beginning, address kind of like the big elephant in the room. Because when I read those words, I don't know about you, but when I read those words, I think of, well, there are certain things in Scripture, especially in the Old Testament, that make it hard to believe this verse is talking about the same God. Right? Like we read about how God chose certain individuals, one over the other. Like he chose Jacob over Esau. He chose Joseph over his other brothers. He chose David over Saul. We also read about how he chose certain groups of people over others. He chose the Israelites over the other people groups. He chose the Levites among the tribes to be his servants. He chose to spare the southern kingdom of Judah while the northern kingdom was completely wiped out. We've seen him give miraculous victory in battle over other people groups. In the New Testament, we read about how he has chosen us, right? Those who have believed the gospel and determined that he would conform us into the image of his son Jesus. He has chosen us and not everyone. And it is only through Jesus that a person can be saved. So how can we say that God shows no partiality, no favoritism? How can God love impartiality when he seems to be awfully selective all throughout history? Right, so before we get into God loves impartiality, I want to just take a minute to address that a little bit. God has been selective in how he has accomplished his plan of salvation. He's had to be. The eternity of all humanity was at stake. He had a purpose and a plan to raise up a group of people through whom a Savior would be born, his one and only Son, Jesus. If he didn't accomplish this, nobody would be saved. But the salvation that he has brought about through Jesus is for all. Scripture tells us that it's God's will that none should perish and that all should come to eternal life. He would love nothing more than to have everyone believe and receive the gospel so that they could be with him for all eternity. So he extends his offer of mercy and grace and forgiveness to all people. Everyone and anyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Now, unfortunately, not everyone receives that. But because God wants a love relationship with us, He doesn't force anyone to receive him. It isn't because he doesn't want them to. It's because he wants them to want to. God's plan, the way that he's brought about salvation to all mankind and all humans, was not impartial. God's salvation, however, is. He doesn't care who you are. The offer of salvation is for everyone. So back to Romans 2:11, for God shows no partiality. Now here's the context of that verse. He's talking about the difference between Jewish people and the Greeks, or the non-Jews, the Gentiles, when it came to the idea of judgment. Romans 2:6-11 says, he will render to each one according to his works. To those who by patience and well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality, he will give eternal life. But for those who are self-seeking and do not obey the truth but obey unrighteousness, there will be wrath and fury. There will be tribulation and distress for every human being who does evil, the Jew first and also the Greek, but glory and honor and peace for everyone who does good. To the Jew first and then also the Greek. For God shows no partiality. Right? There's no difference. There's no distinction between the two. Those who do evil will face distress and tribulation. Those who do good will have peace and receive glory and honor. It doesn't matter who you are. God doesn't care about that. He's impartial in offering salvation, and he's impartial when it comes to his judgment. Now, perhaps one of the greatest examples or the greatest passages of God not showing partiality is with Peter and Cornelius in the book of Acts. And I'm going to sum this up because it spans like a number of chapters. But if you remember, God gives Peter this vision and tells him, look, don't call anything unclean that I've called clean. Right? God explains that there are some men that are going to come to Peter. They're going to knock on his door. They're going to ask him to go to the home of Cornelius, who's a non-Jewish man, a Gentile. And Peter's supposed to go with him, proclaim the gospel. Now, when he gets there, they explain that God had told Cornelius to seek Peter out so he could hear the message. And Peter realizes in that moment that God intends to reach all people, right, with the message of Jesus and the hope of the gospel. Not just the Jewish people and culture, but all people. And here's what it says in Acts 10:34-43. So Peter opened his mouth and said, truly I understand that God shows no partiality. But in every nation, anyone who fears him and does what is right and acceptable to him. As for the word that he sent to Israel, preaching the good news of peace through Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. You yourselves know what happened throughout all Judea, beginning from Galilee and after the baptism that John proclaimed, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. He went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all that he did both in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They put him to death by hanging him on a tree, but God raised him on the third day and made him to appear, not to all the people, but to us who have been chosen by God as witnesses, who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one appointed by God to be judge of the living and the dead. To him all the prophets bear witness that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. Everyone who believes in him. Now, as Peter's saying this, the Holy Spirit falls upon them, and it becomes evident in these signs of tongues that they begin to speak in, which is something of a confirmation of what is taking place in their lives. And what was a little bit unusual about this is we had seen that happen. Oftentimes it was associated when a person was baptized. But here God just pours out his Holy Spirit on these people as Peter is speaking. It's almost as if he was legitimizing their conversion because they believed before the baptism took place, right? So now, interestingly, this passage This passage was one that was close to my heart when we first got started with Portico. Because at the heart of it was the fact that no one is off limits when it comes to the gospel. No one. The gospel is for everyone, even those who we might think are so far away from God that they wouldn't even be open to it. Yeah, the gospel is for them too. When it comes to us reflecting the heart of God in terms of impartiality, I think the first thing that we need to hear is this: don't show partiality with the gospel. Don't show partiality with the gospel. Right? God doesn't show favoritism when it comes to who can be saved. As Peter says, in every nation, anyone who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him. The gospel message is for everyone. God is impartial. God loves impartiality. And so, of course, if God doesn't show favoritism in this regard, then neither should we. Right? So don't show partiality with the gospel. Another verse that talks about this, and there's just going to be kind of a quick hit list of a couple of verses and some things that we can gain in regards to this idea of impartiality. It's just kind of rolling through these. But James 2:1. James writes, "My brothers," and it implies sisters there as well, "show no partiality as you hold the faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory." Show no partiality as you hold the faith. Like if we're going to be a reflection of Jesus, we need to show this similar kind of impartiality. And then James gives some real practical example of how to flesh this out in real life. Verse 2 says, "For if a man wearing a gold ring and fine clothing comes into your assembly, and a poor man in shabby clothing also comes in, and if you pay attention to the one who wears fine clothing and say, 'Well, you sit here in a good place,' while you say to the poor man, 'You stand over there,' or 'Sit down at my feet,' have you not made distinctions among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? Listen, my beloved brothers, has not God chosen those who are poor in the world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom, which he has promised to those who love him? But you've dishonored the poor man. Are not the rich the ones who oppress you and the ones who drag you into court? Are they not the ones who blaspheme the honorable name by which you were called? If you really fulfill the law according to the scripture, 'You shall love your neighbor as yourself,' well, then you're doing well. But if you show impartiality, you are committing sin and are convicted by the law as transgressors." So he gives this practical example, which kind of boils down to this: don't show partiality toward the wealthy. Don't show partiality toward the wealthy. Right? Not towards the wealthy and the distinguished in our society. Often they're the ones, he says, not even the ones who believe, and yet we kind of cozy up to them because of what we might gain instead of honoring what God says is truly honorable. If we do that, James says, it's sin, right? It's showing partiality toward the wealthy. Don't show partiality toward the wealthy. Now, similarly, actually in kind of an opposite way, a verse we read last week, Leviticus 19:15, says this: "You shall do no injustice in court. You shall not be partial to the poor or defer to the great, but in righteousness shall you judge your neighbor." Don't show partiality to the poor. And so it's not just about not showing partiality to the wealthy. Same thing for the poor, both sides of the spectrum. A friend of mine this week pointed out that in this verse it's possible to show favoritism to either one, even though we tend to only think of it in one direction. You can be partial to the poor. You can also defer to the great. He says don't do that, right? Don't show partiality to the poor. Couple of more verses. Galatians 3:8. "There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is no male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus." In a very similar passage in Colossians 3:11. "Here there is not Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free, but Christ is all and in all." So Paul, he takes these opposite types of people and says both are included. Jews and non-Jews. Both are included. The circumcised and the uncircumcised, another way of saying the same thing. Male and female. Both are included. Slave and free person. He says barbarian, and by that he means those who are considered uncivilized as like, in that day, as like non-Greek speaking people groups were considered uncivilized. But then the Scythians were considered like the lowest and most savage kind of barbarian. So he's like the barbarians and the really bad barbarians, and he includes them both. Like he takes these opposites and extremes and says, look, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. When you put your faith and trust in Christ, you are all one in him. And we could sum that up by all of these different standards that are used in society. Don't show partiality in social status. Don't show partiality in social status, right? In Christ, we're all one. We're all one. Matthew 2:19, a verse we should be pretty familiar with. If we're a follower of Jesus, we've heard this. It's the Great Commission, or at least part of it. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. All nations. Revelation 7, 9 through 10 gives us this picture of what that looks like. After this I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, who is Jesus, clothed in white robes with palm branches in their hands, crying out with a loud voice, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb, to Jesus. Right? It's this picture of all, every nation, all tribes, peoples, languages, tongues. And sadly, I think this is another issue that we do need to spell out. It needs to be said. But don't show partiality in ethnicity or skin color. A lot of times we nod our heads and go, yeah, yeah, of course. Pretty significant issue these days. We're not really supposed to show, if you think of these, we're not really supposed to show partiality with any particular group of people based on any of these external aspects. Right? It's all superficial, in a sense. God's not partial to any one of us. We are all his creation. So, don't show partiality to ethnicity or skin color. So, impartiality is more than just an issue, though, with how we behave, how we act toward other people. It's also a way we're supposed to think. Right? To have godly wisdom involves being able to be impartial and not show favoritism, just as God is impartial and doesn't show favoritism. In James 3:17, it says this, but the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial, and sincere. Godly wisdom is impartial. It doesn't factor in things like financial status, social status, ethnicity, and skin color. If we're reflecting godly wisdom, neither will we. If we're talking about genuine godly wisdom, don't show partiality toward any certain people group. Don't show partiality toward any certain people group. Now, as I say that, I realize that being impartial, it doesn't apply to every practical situation in life, does it? I mean, just an example, I'm a soccer coach, right? I coach two different levels of kids. On one level is our academy level. It's like the 8 and 10-year-olds. And you want as many kids as possible to participate, right? At least I do. That's kind of our philosophy. We want as many kids who want to play, want to try, who want to give it a shot to come out and play soccer. I also coach a U12 team that's in a far more competitive league. And when it comes to building a team like that, a person's talent matters, right? Generally, you want to get the best players that you can on your team. So in a sense, you have to be partial, at least in regards to the talent, when it comes to building that team. And yet, I have noticed that some of the greatest frustrations for people, that at least the ones they encounter in sports, is because of some sort of favoritism. Right? The coaches are not impartial when judging talent. They show favoritism. Certain players or certain families often seem to get some sort of preferential treatment. Right? Maybe they're close friends with the coach or someone on the board. Maybe their mom or dad volunteer or support things financially. Maybe they go to a certain school or play for a certain coach that really likes them. So even though they're less talented, they get the spot on the team or they get the playing time over another individual. And as a result, somewhere along the lines, there's a player with maybe greater potential or more talent that gets left out in the cold. Now, I'm not going to say like, well, the club that I coach for is immune to that kind of thing. I'm sure that happens with us too. It's frustrating when that happens. And at the core of it is the issue of favoritism, right? A lack of impartiality instead of judging based on talent, it's some other external factor that gets taken into consideration. And it gets people discouraged, frustrated, angry, makes them want to quit. Right, that's partiality. It happens with job opportunities too, doesn't it? Like if you don't golf or go out or hang out with the bosses, you don't get the job even if you're more qualified. That's partiality. Happens with friendships. There are often people on the outside looking in from certain circles of friendship. Those on the inside, a lot of times maybe don't do that good of a job of extending friendship to those who maybe don't quite fit in the same. Right? We all can think of that and we like look back at high school or grade school, middle school, that sort of thing and think, yeah, that's the way it was, but let's face it, it happens in our world right now, in our friendship circles. That's partiality. Happens in church. Right? Like we're welcoming to people who are like us. But if someone comes in thinking differently, looking differently, dressing differently, we don't go out of our way to welcome them because, not so sure, a little skeptical. That's partiality. Right? It's what we're not supposed to do. People get hurt very deeply, sometimes even beyond repair, by favoritism in areas like these. In fact, we probably all have some place like this that it's happened for us, where we got stung by it. I realize it's impossible to be impartial in every area of life because sometimes the situation requires us to be partial. We have to decide based on a certain fact or whatever. But as followers of Jesus, it's still something we should be striving for whenever we can, impartiality. We should look to be fair. We should look to be objective whenever possible. We should strive for impartiality whenever it's possible. But in terms of the gospel, we absolutely need to be impartial when it comes to sharing the good news about Jesus. It's something everyone needs to hear. It doesn't matter who they are. In a related situation this morning, we have a couple of people who are being baptized after church today. You probably know that. If you don't, now you do. It's really exciting. It's really exciting when that happens. These are people who have responded to the good news about Jesus Christ. They have put their faith and trust in him at some point in their life. And two people that we have are being baptized today. Haley Brunk, who plays keys for us, right? We'll point her out and embarrass her this morning. And Dee Dee, who is downstairs, so with our kids' stuff, right? And just a bit about that. A baptism is this public proclamation telling the world that you're now a follower of Jesus. It's making a statement to those around us. It's an outward expression of something that has happened inside of us. Like Jesus, he died, he was buried, and he rose again to new life. And in him, we've died too. We've died to our sin, that thing that keeps us separated from God. We were buried beneath the waters, and we're rising again to a new life in him forever. And this is probably the biggest thing about baptism. It also signifies that, you know what, whatever you've done in the past, anything that's come up short of God's perfect, holy, righteous standard, we all come up short. We miss the target of that, and now it's washed away. It's made clean because of what Jesus did when he died on the cross to make a way for us to be made right with God. Right? And not only has he forgiven us for what we've done wrong, like we've already done, but we get mercy and grace extended to us for the things that we'll mess up on in the future. Right? He covers it all for us when we put our faith and trust in him. Baptism signifies that we were once a sinner. That's who we were. We were defined by the sin in our life, subject to judgment of God. But now through Christ, we're a new creation. We've been forgiven, we've been made new, and we have eternity in heaven to look forward to. So today, right after church here, we're going to be going out to Menominee Park at the beach. I want to encourage you to please come and join us for that, to share in this and celebrate with the people who have chosen to be baptized. And I also want to say, if you have not been baptized, since you came to believe in Jesus, I know there's a lot of different practices, a lot of different ways churches do things, but for us here, we see in the scripture that people choose to be baptized as a public statement of faith after they've come to believe in Jesus in a personal way. And so if you haven't been baptized since you came to believe in Jesus, you're also invited to take part. If you want to do that today, just come up and talk to me, and we'd like to hear where you're at with Jesus and invite you to be a part of that. Baptism doesn't make us right with God. Jesus does that. He's the one who accomplishes it, but baptism is a public statement to everybody else that says, I'm doing this today because, yeah, I believe. I believe in Jesus. And look, salvation, it's possible for any one of us and any person because God doesn't show partiality. He just doesn't. He's not a respecter of persons. Doesn't matter to him. He loves every one of us, and he longs for every one of us to come to faith and to put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Doesn't matter who you are. He's waiting for us to respond to the incredible love that he has for us and to receive the invitation personally to accept that love. We're going to close with a song actually kind of requested by Haley. I'm going to point that out because it's one of her favorites, but it's really relevant today. So we're going to spend a few more moments in worship, but the first song is a song called Just Because. And it just talks about the incredible love that God has for us. Obviously, we need to hear that personally. This is Jesus who loves me. This is God who loves me deeply. But God is one who does not show partiality. It's a love that he extends for every person. It's up to us to receive it. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for a great love that you have extended to us in your Son Jesus. That you would give your Son to die on a cross for our sin, to pay a price that we couldn't pay, to make us right with you. God, we are grateful for that sacrifice. We're grateful for that demonstration of love that you have shown us. And we're grateful that it doesn't matter to you who we are. It doesn't matter what we've done, where we've been. It doesn't matter whether we're rich or poor, whether we're male or female, whether we're a certain color of skin, a certain ethnicity. You don't care because you love all of us and want each one of us to come to salvation. You're impartial in that way. You extend your mercy and grace to anyone and everyone who will receive it. And so for those of us who've done so, we want to say thank you. Thank you for extending that love to us. Thank you for being a God who is impartial and just loves us so deeply. And if there's anyone here listening online who is in a place where you haven't taken that step of faith and trusted Jesus, just know that he is hoping, waiting for you to take that step of faith. To say, I want that love. I want to receive that love. I want to follow you, Jesus. And I thank you for what you've done. And you can just simply pray in your heart, Lord Jesus, I believe you are truly God who died for me to make a way to be right with God forever. You offer forgiveness for my sin, and I need that. And I want to give my life to you. Thank you for a love that reaches out to every single one of us, no matter who we are. We are grateful. We simply respond by loving you back. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the podcast of the Portico Church in Oshkosh, Wisconsin. You can find out more about our church at porticocommunity.com.